So in the mission it says, Damanitaz Vishala Sakin, that you have to go ahead and do Kisoy Dam with it. Although Rabbi Yehuda qualifies that and says that's only true if there's no other Dam. Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braita, Vichisau. Like the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, even dam that initaz and it's on the sakin, you have to cover. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ematai. When is that true? Bizman shein dam elohu. That's only true when there's no other dam besides that. Avayesham dam shelohu. If there's other dam that you could do kisui adam with, patur mele chasot. Then you don't have to do kisui adam. Tanya idoch. And then we have another brayta v'chisau. Lamed shekol damo chayav de chasot. That all dam you have to do kisui with. Mikan amru. Any dam that is squirted out or that is found on the Beit HaShechita has to have kisui adam done with it. When's that true? That's only true if he hasn't covered all the dam hanefesh. If he covers all the dam hanefesh, then he's patur mele chasot. What is the machloket over here? The Gemara at this point assumes that there are actually three different positions over here. There's the position of the Tanakhama, there's the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and then there's the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Balei HaTosafot are bothered by that because in the Mishnah it says, Ematai. Then the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that any time in a Mishnah that it says, Ematai, then Rabbi Yehuda is Balei Faresh and not Lachlok. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda here is not differentiated from the Tanakhama, but rather he's an explanation of the Tanakhama. So then why are we ending up with three different opinions over here if Rabbi Yehuda is just a qualification of the Tanakhama? Rabbeinu Tam notes that that's only true with regards to a Mishnah, not necessarily with a Braita. And therefore, yes, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying the Tanakhama, but the Braita doesn't necessarily hold that way. And that's why the Gemara brings it as three different positions over here versus the Mishnah where it might be one position. And based on that, Rabbeinu Tam says the Halacha is like our Mishnah that says Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying, and therefore the Halacha will be like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Braita that says otherwise. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot bring that there is a view that Rabbi Yehuda, even in the cases of a Mishnah, that Ematai for Rabbi Yehuda is Lachlok, when it's Muchach, when there's obvious evidence of the fact that he's being Choleh. And the Balei HaTosafot say, maybe that's one of these instances. The Braita here clearly thinks that he's arguing on the Chachamim and not explaining the Chachamim based on the explanation of the Gemara. And given that, then it is Muchach over here that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. Therefore, then, even in the Mishnah, Ematai is not the Faresh in this instance, but rather Lachlok, and that's why you have three different positions over here. Or, Tosafot brings another Girsa here that combines the two Braitot and avoids the problem and says that even by the Braita here, Rabbi Yehuda is the Faresh. And then he explains that the third opinion the Gemara is speaking about here is really the Tanakhama, the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Or, the Ramban has a Girsa that seemingly says that both Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda are just arguing about the Tanakhama's position as to what he meant when he says that you have to cover that which was nitaz and that which is on the sakin. And that way there are really only two positions over here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda are both modifying or qualifying that position of the Tanakhama. But in any case, the Gemara says, what's their argument about? Rabbanan Savre Damo, Kol Damo. They think that when it says, Shafak et Damo v'chisau be'afar, Damo means all the Dam. Doesn't have to be all the dam. As long as you get a portion of the dam covered, that's fine. Shem Galil Saber Damo is Damo HaMiyuchad, which is the unique dam, or the dam that's associated with the nefesh. And given that, only the dam and nefesh needs to be covered. Nothing else needs to be covered. And that's their three-way machloket over here. The Balei Tosafot questioned that Rabbi Yehuda and other places in Bechorot seems to indicate that he has the same drusha by Bechor, and says Bechor kol Bechoro, and doesn't say Miksat Bechoro. So how does he reconcile that difference in the drushot? The Rabbeinu Tam over here suggests it's a difference between Vav that is added on Damo versus the case of Bechor where it didn't have that. Had it said Mishafach et Dam, then maybe Rabbi Yehuda would have learned Dam kol Adam. But now that it says Damo, that's what pushes Rabbi Yehuda to say Miksat Damo. By the case of Bechor, where there is no such Vav there, that's where he darshens it Bechor. But then the Balei Tosafot run into a problem, which it seems to be then, there's a stira in Hilchata, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in Bechorot, but we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over here. Therefore, the Balei Tosafot conclude, that even though you have different drashot in different places in Shas, you shouldn't compare and contrast them. Each one is unique and is a mesora, and you can't say that one is different than the other unless the Gemara tells you that it's comparing and contrasting them. And here, the Gemara doesn't bring that up, and therefore we're not going to question Rabbi Yehuda's position there versus over here. Although you could suggest, like the Bali Tosva do many places in Shas, which is context matters. That the default scenario by Bechor would be assumed that the entire Bechor is owned by the Israel. And therefore, when it tells you called Bechor, it's coming to tell you any Bechor, even one that's not totally owned by the Israel. Over here, the assumption of Dam would have been all the Dam. Therefore, when it says Damo and adds something extra, it means Mixat Damo and not called Damo. So depending on your starting position and context, that's where the drusha then comes in to change what you would have assumed otherwise. By Dam, you would have assumed all Dam. So then Damo comes and says you Mixat Damo. By Bechor, you would have assumed all ownership by Israel. Then when it comes and says Kol Bechor, it comes to teach you that even something that's not fully owned by the Jew is also Chayiv in Bechora. We don't pask in that way, but that's that view of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, context is what's driving his drasha, even though the style of drasha seems to be in contradiction. Nevertheless, the context is what's driving it, not the type of drasha necessarily. Okay, now we're going to continue with the Mishnah.
The Mishnah says, B'meh mechasim, u'v'meh ein mechasim. What are the materials that you're allowed to use for kisui hadam? Mechasim b'zevel hadak. We can use fine dung, u'b'chol hadak, and fine sand. B'sid, with lime. Ubicharasit is with pot sherds that have been crushed, at least according to Rashi. Ubilaveina with a brick. Ubimigufa, chopped up stopper for a earthenware vessel. Shikachan, in all of these cases that you crush them into a finer material. Avan ein mechasim, which you're not allowed to cover with, is lo bezevelagas, not with dung that is coarse, velo becholagas, and not sand that is coarse or thick. And not with a brick or a stopper or cover for an earthenware utensil that was not crushed. You cannot turn over a utensil or cover it with a utensil. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Tosfos points out, he's not going to argue, but rather to summarize the principle that was laid out in this Mishnah. Davar shemegadel bo tzmachim, anything that can grow live plants in it. Mechasinbo, then you can use it to cover. V'sheinu megadel tzmachim, if the material would not allow for growth in it, in mechasinbo, then you can't cover with it. So Gemara asks now, heichida michol adak, what do we mean by thin or fine sand? Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ko she'ena yotzer tzarich lekatsho. Anything the potter does not have to crush. V'itka d'matli la seifa. Some raise the question with regards to the seifa of our Mishnah. Aval ein mechasin lo bezevel agas velo bechol agas. It's not allowed to use to cover coarse or thick dung or coarse or thick sand. Heichi dami chol agas. What's the case of coarse or thick sand? Am Rabbi Bar Chana, am Rabbi Yochanan, kol sheyotzer tzarich lekatsho. Anything that the creator, the potter, has to crush before he uses it. So my benayu. What's the nafkamina between whether you write this on the resha or you write this on the seifa? Ike benayu, detzarech velo tzarech. That it needs to be crushed, but it doesn't need to crush. The mifrach ifruche, meaning that it falls apart when you crush it in your hand. When we're talking about crushing over here, we're talking about crushing through a utensil. So here, it does not need a utensil to crush it down and make it finer. If you put it in your hand, you can crush it in your hand. And by crushing it in your hand, that would have been sufficient. So that's a nafkamina between them. According to the Lishna Kama, that it's called chol hadak, as long as it does not need crushing, then this will be fine. Because this doesn't need crushing. It doesn't require a utensil to crush it. You can just pick it up in your hand, it'll be crushed. On the other hand, according to the one who says that it's written about the seifa is that a chol hagas is anything that you need to crush. And since over here, you need to crush it, even though it only needs to be crushed with your hand, it'll still be classified as chol hagas, it'll still be classified as being thick sand. So that'll be the nafkamina between the two lishonot, of whether you place it on the ratio or you place it on the seifa. Tan Rabbanan, v'chisahu. So the pasuk tells us, when it comes to kisui adam, it says, that v'shafach et damo, and then you have to say v'chisahu, and then it says v'chisahu be'afar. So the Gemara says about that, I would think, when it's written, v'chisahu yachol yichasenu be'avanim, that maybe you can cover it with rocks. O yichpe alevet akli, or you can turn a utensil over on it. Talmud Omar, be'afar. Torah tells us that it has to be done through afar. V'ein le'ala afar. Well, once I know that it has to be done be'afar, it sounds like I can only use dirt to do this. Minayin the rabot zeveladak v'choladak. How do I know to include fine or thin dung, fine or thin sand, ushchikat avanim, crushed stones, ushchikat charasit, crushed earthenware, uneoret pishtandaka, and scraps of linen that are thin, unesoret charashin, and the sawdust of the carpenters, daka, that's very fine, visid, and lime, vicharasit, as well as earthenware, and levena, a brick, umigufa, and a cover, a ceiling of the earthenware vessel, shikachan, that you crushed up. How do I know to include all of those? Tamalomar, vichisau. The chisau comes to be a ribui, and includes all of these items, even though the pasuk says, be'afar. Just a note over here, Tosafot points out in the word charasit, he says, in merubah, in perek merubah and baba kama, Rashi says that this charasit is a brick that was crushed up. Over here, he says, Rashi, that charasit is shechikat charasin. It's crushed earthenware utensils. Tosafot says both of those explanations are problematic based on the Braita that we just read. Because our Braita includes both shechikat avanim, as well as shechikat levena, and shechikat charasit. It has all three of those items there. And then on top of that, it says v'charasit, shekachan. So it has to be that this charasit that we're discussing over here is different than crushed brick or a crushed earthenware utensil, because the Mishnah mentions each of the Braita mentions each of those items separately. Tosafot does not offer an alternative, but he just points out that we have to indicate or suggest a different interpretation. It might be that the difference being here is charasit being a crushed pot shard, whereas the shchikat charasit is maybe taking a whole utensil or some whole earthenware piece that you're crushing down versus over there where it's a pot shard that you're crushing down. So yochol she'ani merabeh, now that I included all these things, maybe I should also include af zevel agas, also this thick or coarse dung, v'chol agas, and thick or coarse sand, ushchikat kli matechot, and crushed metallic utensils, ulevena umegufa shelo kachan, and a brick, or a seal or stopper from an earthenware vessel that you did not crush, vikemach, and flour, visubin, and coarse flour, umursan, and bran, tamalomar, be'afar. That's, you have to do it with dirt. So now we have one riboy and one miut. So mara itel rabotetelu, v'lhotziyadelu. Why are you including some items and excluding other items? Achar shriba katuv, umi eit. Since the pasuk says that both a riboy of a chisau, and as a miut of be'afar, merabe ani et elu shehein min afar, I will include items that are similar or like afar, umotzi ani et elu shehein min afar, and I will exclude these other items that do not qualify as afar. So Ema, the Gemara says, wait a minute, why don't we say v'chisau is a klal, afar is a prat, and now I have a klal or prat. Em b'chlal, elamashe per prat. And I only have, then I'm limited to the prat. The prat comes to define what the klal is. In a klalu prat, ein b'klal ela mashab prat, because the prat is coming to define for us what the klal is. And here's your classic klalu prat. You have a kisau be'afar. So why am I able to include things? Why don't I say afar and that's it? So Amar Rav Mari mishum dava klal atzarich the prat, because it is a klal that requires the prat. V'chol klal atzarich the prat ain't any noto b'klalu prat. Any klal that needs the prat, it no longer falls under the category of klalu prat, ein b'klal elo mashe b'prat, but rather this becomes a klal as a tzrich l'prat, a prat as a tzrich l'klal. And that is because sometimes the word is ambiguous. For instance, over here, the klal v'chisahu is an ambiguous term. Since it's an ambiguous term, we need the be'afar to define for us or narrow for us the possibilities of what it means v'chisahu. Because you could have learned, and Rashi points this out, that I could have said when you had the word v'chisau, that it could have been a number of things. For instance, aval hocha, demishtana, klala, betray inyane. Over here, there are two possibilities of what the word v'chisau means. Bet kisuim, shein domim zelezet. It could include two types of covering actions that have no similarities between them. Kigon, kisui davar shalem, kigon kli. You could say that when I say to cover something over, it means put a whole utensil over it. It means just take it out of sight. Out of sight can be accomplished by taking a utensil, by turning over a kli, and placing it on top of the blood. Or, kisui davardak. Or it could mean to cover it over with fine sand, with dirt, in placing it and cover it away such that it's not just out of sight, but really becomes a part of the fabric of the ground. And I don't know then which of these two meanings v'chisahu has over here. Because of that ambiguity, I need the prat, I need the be'afar to teach me which of those two options is true. So the be'afar comes and teaches me the option of kisui ayadei davar dak is the right way to understand the word v'chisahu over here. So this is a klal that needs the prat. It's no longer a klal of prat, but needs the prat to tell us which of those two definitions of kisui we're using. Once I have that, then I'm going to have the limudim of the kisui and the afar. Kisui to be a ribui, be afar to be a miut, and between them I'm going to come to a balance. I'm going to say only things that are like afar will be included under a v'chisahu. And v'kimlehu rabbonon, the Rabbanon had a mesorah about items in which you could grow living plants. And that's the real definition here in the end. Anything that is like afar, anything that is similar to afar, will be qualified for chisau. And how do we define that? As Rashi points out, v'chol chanach, all those that are listed in the Braita, kim lehu Rabbanon shemegadlim tzmachim, have a mesorah that they can grow plants, living items in them. That you're only allowed to cover with something that you can plant in. And then it would grow. So the question here is, what is Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista adding that we don't already know from our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah already has such a principle that it's only things that you can grow in that you use. So what is the addition of his statement? Tosfos over here says, the Me'utei Afar midbar, that the first possibility of what it means kosher zorim bo umatzmiach, that you can plant in it and it grows, comes to exclude the dirt or the ground materials in the desert. Shalosham inami matnitan ditzmachim gedilim bo me'elehem. Don't conclude from our Mishnah that anything that has items growing in it. Over there, things do grow in the midbar, and there are things that take hold in the midbar. But that's by themselves, and nobody goes and plants in the desert, but if something grows in there. So from our Mishnah, it might have been possible to understand that it was anything that grows things in it. For instance, in the Midbar, things do grow in there, and therefore it would have been sufficient. Along comes Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista to tell you, no, it has to be something where you would actively plant in that material. So that's a Tosfos suggestion, is that the addition here of this idea that you can actively plant it plus something will grow, that's the addition of Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista here above what our Mishnah would have indicated to us. Samarava, hai burcha. That's an absurdity, what you're saying. From the word bur is the shorish of this word. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, the Rava, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says to Rava, my burchote. Why is this absurd? Anam rita nihale. I'm the one who told him it. And I got it from this breita. If he was walking in a desert, or afar, he does not have dirt or he doesn't have ashes to cover with. Dinar zahav, he can crush into a fine powder a gold coin. Use that for kisui adam. Of course, Tosafot jumps on this and says we had the breita above, which says that if you crush up metal or metal utensils, that does not qualify for kisui. Tosafot distinguishes between gold and all other metals. When it comes to gold, then it's fine. Whereas when it comes to all other metals, the dust of other metals would not qualify. He's going on a boat, and he doesn't have dirt with which to cover over the blood. So Reif Talito, he burns up some of his clothing, and uses the ashes from that to cover with it. So Bishlama, so Reif Talito, I understand why you make such a suggestion, and cover with it, because we have instances where ashes are called afar. Eladinar Zahav Minelan, where do you get this idea that a dinar zahav has that status when you crush up the gold coin? So Reb Zeira, it says in the pasuk in Iyov, frod zahav lo. So you see here that it calls by gold, the dust of gold. So we see that the word afar is used in conjunction with gold. So the reason that the dust of gold qualifies over here is because it's called afar. And that is true of the Afer Talit and the Afer Chatat, which we're going to see in a minute. But all those items are included because they all have a shem afar. So even though they don't grow things in them, but because they're called afar, that is sufficient. And that's what Tosfot says in the end, that qualification. Yoshomar dafar, dekra, The afar of the pasuk is only talking about things that can be grown in. From the ribuy of kisau, marbin and komide de megadel tzmachim. Anything, the ribuy of kisau comes to include anything else that grows plants in it. O, mide de ikri afar, or anything else that's called afar. Afagav de lo megadel tzmachim. So you have to have one of the two qualifications. That's what the ribuy says. Be afar would have indicated that you need it to be afar, plus it has to grow tzmachim. Vechisau comes to say you need only one of those two qualifiers. Either that it's called afar, or that it grows tzmachim in that, and that will get us all the items that are mentioned in all the brightot here. So Tanu Rabanan, emachasim ela be'afar, divrei Beit Shammai, betilel omrim, matzinu efer shekrui afar. Beit Shammai says you can only use dirt, whereas Beit Hillel says we know that you can use ashes as well, because we find some in the Torah that ashes are called afar, shenemar, v'chud etamei me'afar srifat apara. Comes to the para aduma, it calls it afar, even though we're talking about ashes. Beit Shammai's response to them is afar srefa ikre. It's called afar srefat, but it's not called ikre afar stama lo ikre. It's called afar srefa, but it's not called afar by itself. Tana hosifu alehem. We have a bright that says on top of the items that were mentioned in the previous bright tote, we're adding on additional items here, which are hashachor, which is coal dust, vehakachol, which is stibium, vinikrat pisulim, which you would have thought means from the quarrying of stone, the dust, but we can't say that because we already include crushed rocks above. So over here we're talking about the dust from the milling process, the milling of flour, the dust that comes out of there. Some people say even the yellow arsenic powder that can be included, all of these items would be included in those that you could use for covering or doing kisui adam. Okay, we'll stop over here.